Before we open the scripture this afternoon, I was just wanted to relate a couple personal examples that perhaps that will lead us into the subject I have before me. One occurred this morning early on at breakfast, and another one at noontime after lunch. I'll cover the one at after lunch first. I was out walking her dog daily, and I was just observing in the sky the regularity of the aircraft taking off from Sky Harbor Airport, and looking at my wristwatch and noticing, you know, how they've got it measured down so precisely. Those flights that pass this building are in my view every 45 seconds to a minute. Some 45 seconds, others precisely on 1 minute. And I thought how regular, how wonderful computers are. We know that. And we know that there's obviously skill involved too of the those flying those aircraft. But so much has been computerized, and many of us that flew here have had the value of that technology, and how wonderful that is. But you know, there was plane after plane following one another every 45 seconds. We hear it right now, just at the window, 45 seconds to 1 minute. And what an example of following on one after the other. This morning, sitting with my family, Dave and Cheryl Emerson, at breakfast, and Dave casually mentioned to me little Emerson and how he had followed his dad this morning. And the example was one, I guess, he was preparing to lay aside his collection in his pocket, and Emerson went over immediately and tried to pull out another little bill put in his pocket. You know, that was one little example, and I forget the second one Dave mentioned to me too, but I was thinking, you know, how easy it is to follow those little steps made from you to follow on. And looking back and reflecting over the life of our young children, and I may have mentioned it in the meeting before, and forgive me if I repeat myself, but remember as our children were growing up, our youngest Julie was, we were having a reading, family reading, and speaking about the disciples and following the Lord, and she couldn't quite grasp what following was. She was that young. And I just simply took, we were asking questions, like after I read the portion, and she asked her a question, something that would be simple for her to answer, because she was the youngest. So I went, I said, this is what they were doing. And one playing the other, I tried to put two fingers following the other. And she said, yeah, they were copycatters. Copycatters, speaking of the disciples. And so I was thinking, you know, how simple it is, really. I've been much struck through the years by that one scripture. I believe it's in maybe 2 Corinthians, if I'm wrong. One of the Corinthians speaks about the simplicity that is in Christ. And that's really what it comes down to, isn't it? It's a simple task of following the Lord. But as we know, it's not always an easy path to follow. And this afternoon, with the Lord's help, I'd like to just encourage our hearts from the life of one that's found in the Scriptures, New Testament, one that's very familiar to all of us, and Scriptures we're going to turn to. I know we've all read them before. I'd like to consider a little bit of the life of the Apostle Peter from Scripture. Right from the outset until his epistles that he wrote later in life. So if you turn with me first off to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, and we're going to begin at verse 18. This is really, you might say, the first acquaintance of Peter with our Lord. And the words that we've begun with here this afternoon are going to ring true over and over again in not only Peter's life, but in all those who followed him. So the message is simple, but I trust it may be that which is just be encouraging to our hearts too. So beginning at verse 18, it says, "And Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee. Walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him." Well, as said, this would probably represent the beginning of the call of Peter to be one of the Lord's disciples, along with his brother Andrew. I know there's other accounts in the other Gospels where it tells us that Andrew first finds his own brother Peter and said to him, they have found the Christ. And so there's a few instances of speaking of the calling of the Apostle Peter to follow after the Lord. And that's where it all begins, isn't it? In our own personal lives, each of us from the very youngest to those of us who are the oldest have all experienced that wonderful time in which we began to follow the Lord, the time in which we were saved. And how precious as we each one reflect back on that moment, that time in which we first trusted in Christ, His precious blood to cleanse us from our sins. And then to begin that long journey of following hard after Him. And it was no different for Peter. As we're going to trace a little bit of his life, there were some ups and downs, there were some bumps along the road, and haven't we each felt those in our own personal lives as we follow along the path of faith. And I say that to those who are young this afternoon. I know this is a meeting that was, as we've made before, young people and children. We are mostly older ones here, some young people, and I, again, just seek to encourage your hearts as well as my own today. But Peter here called simply to become fisher men, along with his brother Andrew. And from this time on, he began to follow the Lord. And we know there are other instances, of course, when he was starting to walk across the water and started to sink in the water. And he took his eyes off the Lord. The Lord reached out and saved him from that water. And he spoke to our boat, the leader of the boat, and said, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man." And perhaps that was the very moment in which he was converted. I hesitate to say, but we know from the life of the testimony of Peter that he definitely was a disciple who followed the Lord. And I don't believe it's important that we necessarily have to know the precise moment and minute, the day, the hour in which we say first trusted in Christ. All we need to know is that we are saved. And that's what the Lord takes account of. And that's the most important thing of all. Well, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And as we reflect upon the life of Peter, he did that. He and those men that were chosen with him by the Lord, they followed on after the Lord and worked many miracles. And we know there was much blessing as a result. And it was a time, of course, when there were some bumps along the road, as I said earlier. And we're not going to go into those right at the moment, I would turn now to an incident that happened 3.5 years later. 3.5 years later. It was that space, it was that time in which the Apostle Peter followed on with the Lord. And that's when those bumps and occurrences took place in his life. And yet there was some signs of blessing as well. And I believe we can all identify with them. Turn with me, if you will, now to John 21. John's Gospel, chapter 21. Three and a half years later, in the life of Peter, they're appearing with our risen Lord here on a seashore by Galilee. And we know from the earlier part of chapter 21 that Peter said to some of the other disciples, I go fishing. And there were several others of the disciples that joined them and went out and cast their nets all night, and they didn't catch any fish. In the morning, they looked upon shore, and here was the Lord there on land, and he had a fire prepared. Pick up the story in verse 9. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Well, we know that the Lord directed that net to make up for their night of toil and emptiness. And here was a great net full, 153 fish. And so the Lord told them to bring those fish that they might be added to what was being prepared there on the shore. Jesus saith, verse 12, unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him a third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily I say unto thee, When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Well, we skip a lot of time, a lot of instances in those 3.5 years between these two times in which the Lord saved him, Peter, follow me. You know, there were times in Peter's life where he expressed self-confidence in himself. Self-confidence. He thought he could do it alone. He followed the path of life alone and meet the challenges of life. And isn't that so like us? Often we feel we can find our own way even after we're saved. And self-confidence prevails. Well, the Lord has to bring us into check, just as he had with the life of dear Peter. You know, there were times when there were jealousies in Peter's life. Think of the instances where he was jealous of others he said, Lord, we follow thee and forsaken all. And what about these other ones? They haven't given up near as much as we have. And again, the Lord has to speak to Peter and to remove that jealousy, or may not be the right word I'm using here, but you can know the instance there in Scripture where he was speaking of others, and it hurt him that others may have had an easier path. And sometimes we do get jealous of those in our Christian walk and ways of others that seem to be faring along pretty smoothly on life's path. And we say to our Lord, they're having an easy time compared to what I'm going through. Haven't we all felt that in our own hearts and souls? I see a lot of heads nodding. So Peter's not unlike a lot of us. So there were times of self-confidence, times of jealousy. But we know perhaps the most sad time in Peter's life, of course, was the time in which he denied our Lord 3 times there. And he was on trial. The Lord was on trial. And once even with those who cursed him. And how sad that was to the Lord's heart. And yet, how sad it was to Peter, for we know he went out and wept bitterly after that. The account that we just read here in John chapter 21 followed all those events, and many have referred to this as a public restoration of Peter to service for his Lord. And what a wonderful time it was here, for the Lord really purged Peter's heart here of how much Peter loved his precious Lord, the one whom he had denied. Here 3 times the Lord counts on this very thing. Lovest thou me more than these? And yet we know Peter's heart was grieved when he down to the very last 3rd time. And the Lord challenged his heart here that he would just give all to follow his Lord. As I said, we've come to know as the public restoration of the Apostle Peter, where he really showed remorse for what he's done there in that time of trial. And haven't we all felt that? We felt remorse in our own hearts when we know we've denied our Lord. Perhaps it's in turning away from giving out maybe a gospel tract, or speaking to a soul, you turn in the opposite direction and think, I should have. And that opportunity, that golden opportunity has gone by. Or maybe there's other times when we deny our Lord too and regret it. We find that we are remorseful, just like Peter. Well, we know from Scripture, I want to just hold your place here, that there was also a time in which there was a private restoration of the Apostle Peter. here was the public restoration of them. And a couple of scriptures that we might just reference in connection with how the Lord had that private time with the Apostle Peter, I believe, before this public restoration that we just read up here in John 21. Let's turn to Luke 24. Luke 24 takes up in a large part the account of two who were on the road to Emmaus, leaving Jerusalem after hearing of the resurrection of the Lord and not really believing it. You know, the Lord came and walked with them and revealed himself to those two, Cleopas and another traveling with them. And as I said, we get a little instance or a little proof that there was a private restoration with Peter, because these two somehow knew about it. We're picking up in the middle of the story, or well on into this account, from verse 32. Those two that were on the road to Emmaus, and they said one to another, this is Luke 24, 32, and they said one to another, not our heart, burn within us while he, that is Jesus, talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the eleven gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. Well, it kind of thrills my heart to think that, you know, the Lord had that private time with the Apostle Peter in restoration first, before there was that public restoration there on the seashore of the Galilee. And here we know that it was voiced abroad here, even these ones from on the road to Emmaus knew about it, that the Lord had had that private time in which he and Peter no doubt wept together for what had transpired there in that court of judgment. And what a wonderful time it must have been. We can only picture somewhat in our own minds what that event was like, and how precious to think of the Lord's heart in restoring the soul. Think of the shepherd David, how he spoke there in Psalm 23, he restores my soul. You know, David had failings, and there was a time in which he was very saddened by events in his own life, and yet he could write that precious song, he restores my soul. It was a very individual thing, restoration. You know, also in the book of Corinthians, you know, there was a man that had to be put out from fellowship because of moral sin. And this one was restored, this individual was restored. What a wonderful thing it is that the Lord restores my soul. And how wonderful. And we know that some have experienced that in personal life, that very thing, and along with these ones you've mentioned, and Peter too, that he had been restored in his own soul. So I believe there's one other instance where the same account is referred. I'm just going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where it also mentions, 15 and 5, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 5, it also gets mention of the Lord hearing first to Peter. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 5. Perhaps we can just back up a couple of verses. Verse 3, rather. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3. For I delivered unto you the first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, and he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and so on. So wonderful, these verses bring a concise capsule of the gospel, don't they? Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and then he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. All fulfillment of the wonderful work of Christ. And that work which we know for by each one are saved. So we have a risen Lord this afternoon, as we enjoyed this morning the precious privilege of being able to remember him in his death here. But here it speaks of Peter, that the Lord was seen of Peter. So I believe this is referencing again that time of private restoration which the Peter and the Lord had together. And so turning back, if you held your place to where we were reading there in John 21, I'm not going to go into all the details there, but there came a time here after Peter was publicly restored, three times in which the Lord spoke to him and asked him, "Lovest thou me?" And then Peter, it tells us in the latter part of where I read, verse 20. So John 21:20, Peter turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast to supper, and said, "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" Peter seeth him, seeing him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what's that to thee? Follow thou me." Well, follow thou me. Here, at time that said 3.5 years later, same words to Peter, in spite of all the ups and downs of those 3.5 years, the Lord's words were the same as they were at the beginning when Peter was first called, "Follow me." And isn't that the simplicity of Christ that I was speaking of earlier in the afternoon? And you know, we can look around like Peter did and say, "Well, what about John? Well, what's he going to do?" And we can put our own selves in those same shoes and say, "Well, what about so and so or her? What's she going to do?" And it's like the Lord saying to my heart, "It doesn't matter. Follow me. Follow me." And that's all that the Lord desires any one of us. He just simply wants us to go on. To go on following after him. Well, the last scripture I want to read this afternoon comes later on in the life of the Apostle Peter. We know that there were ups and downs in the life of Peter even after the Lord went back to heaven. And you know, he was thrown into prison and many other things too for the name of Christ. Think of that angel that appeared to him there in Acts chapter 8 as he was in prison and released him from that prison. And I believe it was an angel sent by the Lord, because the angel's words were to Peter, "Get your coat and follow me. Follow me." And so he did. He followed him out of that prison. You know the rest of the story, how he went and found the disciples praying for him that he might be released. And he banged at the door, and he couldn't believe it. And I would speak to my heart of how sometimes we pray without believing. And these ones sure showed that we can pray often and not believe in the very prayers, the words in which we're speaking. And yet the Lord answers those prayers even in spite of our disbelief. Well, as I said, the final passage you want to read now is in 1 Peter First Epistle of Peter. Has anything changed? This is many years later, and I don't know the precise number of years. First Peter chapter 2. We heard this afternoon how at the beginning the Lord called and said, "Follow me." Same words were repeated to Peter after the Lord died and rose and went back to heaven. There, before he did go back to heaven, we noticed there on the seashore, he spoke to Peter and he said, "Follow me. Follow me." What do you think his words are now? What do you think Peter's words are now in this epistle to the followers in which he was writing? Did he bring up some new slogan, some new expression? No. Well, they're the same words. Same words of our Lord. And so let's pick up the last few verses of chapter 2. We've taken up a little bit in our meetings about suffering for the Lord. So we might just begin with that thought in verse 20. What glory is it if, when you're buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. But this is the passage I was thinking of, particularly verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Well, were the words to these ones in which he was writing different from his Lord? No. Follow in the steps of our Lord. And so that's what he would leave with them, these dear ones, these dear Christians that he was writing to. And I believe that's what his instruction is for you and I in this day. Follow ye should follow in his steps. And I believe the word ye here, and I stand to be corrected on this, but I believe it means individual. If I'm wrong, I'd be glad to know that. But it's like you follow me. So it's very, very individual. And that's, again, what the Lord asks of each one of us. Oh, it's wonderful that we can go on collectively, and I don't diminish that in one aspect, how precious it is that brethren dwell together in unity, that we can all go on together, from the youngest to the oldest. We can enjoy happy fellowship like we have this weekend. But what this really comes down to here is a charge from the Apostle Peter by Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, saying, you and I follow his steps. Simple instructions, and yet we know that's the life of blessing and happiness and obedience. Well, just simple thoughts. So I just share these ones, trust from the Lord this afternoon, a little bit on this precious one. The Apostle Peter and his interaction with our precious Lord, how we can all identify with dear Peter. We can learn from his ups and downs, just as he experienced in his own life. And yet, one of his final words to us here in this epistle is just to follow the Lord.